Amen. Now, if you turn into your bulletin to our call to worship, please. You may sit if you want. How's that? I see half of you are sitting and half of you are standing, so please. So join with me. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to the Lord, or shout to God, with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, the great King over all the earth. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a song. God is King over all nations. God is on the holy throne. Amen. We will now have a couple of songs with the praise and worship team. Song from Brian Dirksen called Refiner's Fire, and we've done it many times. Speaks to me in the way that God is helping us become better people. This has been in Praise and Worship's book for many, many years, Wind of the Spirit. have to say it's a beautiful day out there, beautiful sunshine, and I even swatted my first half dozen or so mosquitoes yesterday. I'm not going to complain. After the winter that we had, a couple of mosquitoes are just absolutely fine by me. And there's always off if you need it. All right, so welcome everyone. Is there any, or are there any guests to be announced or introduced this morning? If not, I will go on to some announcements. I'll start with Chris, if you would.
Okay, so for youth and young adults this week, we are switching things up. Youth is on Tuesday this week, and we're getting together with Springfield Heights Church at 7 o'clock. So either meet at Springfield Heights at 7 o'clock, or come here at 6:45, and we can walk there together. Thanks. Oh, and young adults will be on Wednesday instead of Tuesday at regular time.
Thanks, Chris. Insert in your bulletin, it looks like River East Mennonite Church is having an anniversary, and so all of you with friends and families, relatives, etc., that would like to attend, there's information on that in your bulletin. And as I was trying to choose what things to highlight in the bulletin this morning, I thought I should almost highlight all the ones that were on our page. So I'll just briefly point out a couple of things. Willing helpers, please note number 4. Tomorrow night looks like there's a dinner. Number 5, just a reminder that those community wooden boxes on the end of the aisle here are for the Community Mission Fund. Also, we're looking for delegates to go to the Mennonite Church Canada Assembly, which is being held between July 3rd and 6th at CMU. So please contact Pastor Gary if you're interested in attending. Long notice, and we always like long notices when we have some important things happening in our church, the weeks of the 14th and the 21st of September, so just after our summer break, summer schedule. We will be having some congregational meetings here in the sanctuary. I would presume that's where they're going to be. And so please come prepared. Prayerfully consider some of the items in our constitution that you think may need to get changed. And be here for those meetings. For the summer, looks like worship committee has decided to focus on the favorite Bible characters. So if you do have a favorite Bible character that you'd like Pastor Gary to talk about throughout the summer, that could be a challenge from one week to the next, try to get some flow. But anyway, please contact Pastor Gary on that. On Pentecost, which is next Sunday, Mitchell Meisner will be baptized into our church with witnesses Chris Titterton, and Ben White. Also, Lil and Len Hominick, along with Katie Brown, will have their memberships reinstated. As far as our church family, looks like we had a couple of knee replacements this past week, Erna Martins and Wanda Neufeld. Please pray that the Lord will enfold them in his healing arms and giving them comfort and strength in their recovery. And going back to number 1, please remember to keep Henry and Netta Klein in your prayers, as Netta has her surgery on June 2nd. And Henry spends four weeks in respite at Bethania during Netta's recovery time. Anything else? All right. So I've read those things that are in the bulletin. Is there anything from a sharing perspective that anybody would like to share today? As usual, Ingo has a mic. No? Okay. With that, then I'll invite Pastor Gary up.
Before we pray, got a phone call back from Erna Martins that she's doing well. Is Wanda at home now, or is she still in hospital? It's her second go with this knee, and so it's going to take a little bit longer. So please keep Wanda in our. We want to keep Wanda in our prayers as she recuperates. Let's bow as we pray. God, we come before you this morning. We take our eyes off ourselves and we take a look at you, and we are so grateful for the way that you walk with us. Thank you for your invitation. Thank you for the way that you have made us. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for new starts. Thank you for all of the things you place before us. We appreciate this church family where we can come and work and participate, and also where we can come and find support and encouragement. And we are so grateful for what you have done. There are times, God, when we take a look at our lives and we realize that some of the things that we have said are not appropriate, and we have hurt other people and find ways to justify that, but we know in our hearts it is wrong. And so we ask that you would forgive us. Forgive us for running other people down. Forgive us for not saying the things that we should have by way of words of encouragement or support to others. God, there is so much that we would place before you. We've mentioned those who are ill in hospital. We ask that you would be especially with Margaret Jensen and Mary Lefkeman as they are in the hospital and have been for some time. Be with Netta Klein as she goes for surgery tomorrow. Help her to feel your healing hand. Give her a sense of patience and confidence as she goes in for the surgery. We think of others within our congregation. God, there's always something going on within our lives, bumps of one sort or another. So we ask that you would be with us as we go through this. Thank you for the circles that you place around us, circles of encouragement and support, circles that are willing to roll up their sleeves and walk with us. We think of our larger world. We think of the brokenness within our community. We're reminded of that on a regular basis as we have a food bank here and recognize that there are many in even our community who do not have what we have by way of the basics of life. Thank you for opportunities to participate in that. We think also of the larger world. Syria almost gets old. It's been going on for so long, some 4 years now. But God, the brokenness is so real each day for these people. Help us to never find a place of peace about this, but to continue to allow it to rattle us as we think about what it means to love your world the way that you have. God, we have come this morning to worship you. So we ask that you would receive our thanks and praise as our offering to you. Fill us with joy. We have come this morning to once again commit ourselves to follow you, to say once again that you are our God and we come to you as your people. Amen.
Balloons. Ah, I think we're all seeing balloons. Hey, Jacob, do you like them? Okay, today is a special Sunday in our church calendar. It's called, or I guess we're celebrating what happened on Thursday. We're talking about Ascension Day. Does anyone know what that big word Ascension means? It means going up. So, can you understand why we have a balloon? Where do balloons go? Up. But first I'll read you the story out of this kid's Bible. Jesus stayed on earth for 40 days after he arose. So this is 40 days after he arose on Easter Sunday. That was Thursday. On a hill in Galilee, Jesus told the disciples, "You will receive power. Go to all the nations. Make disciples everywhere, Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to obey everything I have taught you. I will be with you always. On his last day on earth, Jesus led the disciples to the Mount of Olives. He lifted his hands to bless the disciples. While he was blessing them, Jesus went up into heaven, and the disciples kept looking up until he was hidden by a cloud. Then two men dressed in white stood beside the disciples. "Why are you looking into the sky?" they asked. "Jesus has been taken from you, but he will come back just as you have seen him go." Then the disciples went back to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed at the temple praising God. So Jesus left, and the disciples were happy. Does that seem a little weird to you? Jalen and Rhea, when your mom left and dad left, were you happy? No. Usually when people leave us, we're a little bit sad, aren't we? But Jesus had taught his disciples that he was going to come again, and he gave them a job to do while he was gone. Does anyone know what our job is while Jesus is in heaven? Rhea? That's right. It was in our story. It was teach people about Jesus. What else did it say here? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you come next week, you get to see us baptizing people in our church. And teach people to obey. And if we do those things, Jesus will be with us. So today I'm going to take a scissor. What's keeping these balloons down? Yeah, this kind of balloony thing with full of sand. So I'm going to cut it off. What's going to happen to the balloon? It's going to go up. Are we going to be sad? We're going to be happy, right? Because it's fun. Whee! The string came off. Oh, well. Well, they'll come down by themselves one day. I did tie them up, but it didn't stick. Oh, well. Maybe we'll be lucky enough that they will come down next Sunday while we're baptizing Mitchell.
Why don't you throw something after that?
We'll worry about it. Okay, can we bow for prayer? Dear Father, thank you for sending Jesus, your only Son, to die for our sin. We know he has risen from the dead and returned to heaven. Bless us today as we worship him with great joy. And you can all hear the great joy our children have here this morning. Thanks very much. You guys can go back. Hey, Jacob, that's fun, hey?
Isn't it amazing the joy that a simple balloon can have? There's many of those simple things in our lives that God has given us that give us great joy, and the joy of a child seeing a balloon and it floating up like that is just amazing. He's very joyful now. That's great. We will now be taking the collection as we'll sing our next song. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me look. Actually, we're going to do two songs in a row here because I made a mistake. We're going to do Amazing Grace first, and then we will take collection. Or you can take collection now if you like. It's not really that big of a deal. I'm so glad we have a church that's full of forgiving people.
My dream, my one.
thank you. It's always so fulfilling for us when you all sing with us and join in the celebration. Our scripture reading for this morning is from Acts 1, 1 to 11. It's titled, Jesus Taken Up to Heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, for you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." They gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," he said, "why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him taken into heaven."
One of the things I had meant to include in the prayer was to remember Mitchell and Lennon Lil and Katie. Very important and very exciting Sunday next week. And so please be remembering them in your prayers. Not only that God would be with them as they reconnect to the church or connect to the church in a new and wonderful way, but also for that, what that means to us. Every time somebody joins the church, it says something to us about who we are. And so it brings that back. And we want to start next Sunday, the process before baptism, by recommitting ourselves to following the way of Jesus. We are inviting people to something. It's not just them joining and us watching. We're participants. So keep them in our prayers, your prayers, as we think about next Sunday. As we heard, we're talking about Ascension Day. I'm hard-pressed to go up against two balloons, but I'll give it my best shot here. I didn't grow up with Ascension Day being an important part of life. Never thought about it much. I did know about it. I went to a small country two-room school, old enough for that to have happened. And there were a bunch of kids there whose parents were old colony. And they had all these extra holidays. So they used to miss school and come and say, that was a religious holiday. So there were an extra 2 or 3 days around Christmas, which for some reason or other had to be taken on school days. And of course, there's the day where the wise men came back and the day where the first day that all the apostles went to 7-Eleven. And then there was the day Ascension Day. And then there was a few that they made up. And so the teacher would come to those of us who were Mennonite and showed up on these days and said, "Is that a real holiday?" And we said, "No, they're just messing with you. Nobody observes these days." But I was wrong. There are people who observe Ascension Day, and it's very important. For the Catholics, it represents the beginning of the church. For Baptists, it's a place where they call a theosis, the divinization of humanity. We can talk about that another time. For Amish and Old Order Mennonites, it's important. And so I did some digging. Why is it important? So lots of stories about all their shops being closed and them doing stuff, but nobody says why. So I assume it's because that we're just recognizing another part of the life of Jesus. We recognize his birth, his baptism, his death, the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is an important thing too, so they recognize it. For us as a church here in North Kildonan, we've always used Ascension Day as a time when we hear the stories of the faith stories of those who will be joining the church. This year, because Mitchell was the only one getting baptized, we asked him to share his story on the same Sunday that he'll be baptized, so that all of you can be a part of that. So we did not have a special service on Ascension Day. And I meant to talk to a few of you about why that was important, and I didn't, so I need to do that yet. I think many of the churches, that's just what you did on Ascension Day, is have these services. Well, the long and short of it is that as I did quite a bit of thinking about this, I start digging around and I began to realize there's a whole lot here for us to celebrate. It impacts our life in important ways. And so today, a little different than what we usually do on a Sunday, I'd like to share with you some of the things I've found, talk to you about some of the ways it's challenged me, and hopefully it can be meaningful for you as well. But let's start with a prayer, if you don't mind. Let's pray. Holy God, we as your people have come to thank you, to praise you, to ask for help, forgiveness, but also to ask for direction. And now as we discuss what it meant for you as you lifted off of earth and went back to heaven, and what that meant for your followers here, be with us and help us to also learn how we can be impacted by this event as well. Amen. Every once in a while, there are crossroads in our life where we are given clarity and an understanding that we don't usually carry. Let me tell you what I mean. There's a couple of them in my life that stand out. One of them is the times that I have stepped away from a church as pastor. I said, now it's just the time is right to step away. And as I did that, I saw things differently. Now, maybe that was because while you're working in a church, you keep your head down and you pull and you wonder what's on for next week and what are you planning and where is there a problem? We've got to put fires out or whatever. But in that moment, when a person quits, everything changes. You're able to look back, and I would look back and say, was I faithful as a pastor? Did I love the people appropriately? Did I set before them the way of God in appropriate ways? Did I give them a vision and a dream for God, where God would have them go as a church? Looking forward, I could only say, may God be with the church. But then I had to ask questions for myself. What does it mean now? A big chunk of my life is now different. I'm not the pastor anymore, putting in those hours, investing it in the people. Who am I and what does it mean to be a whole person? That was a bit of a struggle to know how to put that together. Another time in my life when this really struck me was when my children left. Not the first time they went off to school or whatever. They were always coming back. But somewhere along the way, there was a moment in which you realized they're only visiting when they come home. And for me, especially with our son, and maybe that was because he lived further away. Our daughters have been very gracious and have stayed close to home so we can keep one hand on them. But I remember our son coming and going. He hadn't really been at home since high school. And it took about 3 or 4 years till one time he was leaving, not any different than any other time. And, you know, you say it was nice to have you come, and you're laughing and hugging. But there's an awareness. He's not home here anymore. Home is somewhere else. And he comes back, we'll always love them, we'll always be there for them, but they're not ours in the same way we let go. And when they leave, you know, you cry a little bit. And for those that are close at home, it's been the same, Carrie. And at those moments, you sit there as a parent and you look back and you say, was I a good parent? Did I love my children the way I should have? Did I model what it meant to follow Jesus and to be a good spouse? Did I challenge them and accept them in an appropriate balance? You know, all that kind of stuff. And you stew on that for a few days or months or years or whatever. then you look forward. With our children, our prayers are there, and like I say, our support will always be there. But we know that they begin to make their own decisions in new ways. But you begin to think for yourself, okay, what does this mean for us now? A big chunk of our life was being a parent, right? And now what? Now what? What does it mean for me to live in this new reality? And that kind of hit me. And I'm not saying it's easier. What do they say? You know, our children are always with us. That's what happened to the disciples on Ascension Day. The disciples are standing there and Jesus is in front of them and they can see the grass is starting to stand up under his feet. He's starting to lift off and he's saying to them, I'm going off to be with God. And we see a fuller picture rather than Acts 1 in Ephesians 1 starting in verse 15. I'm going off to be with God. And he says, oh yeah, that's right. You're from heaven. And then he says, oh, by the way, stick around for about 10 days. Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to give you power. It's going to be great. And you're going to be able to do great things. And oh yeah, the stuff I was doing, it's yours now. Look after it. Do a good job, okay? I'm coming back. And then you have these angels saying, why are you looking up? And you know, there's a lot of things I don't know the answer to. I do know the answer to that one. Because I don't know what's happening. Jesus is lifting off and he's saying all these things and this is a crossroads in their life. And they're saying, what's going on? What do we do next? Come on, come back. We have some more talking to do. And there's no coming back. And I'm sure they sat there and that day and over the next 10 days as they waited and they thought back. They thought about all the times that Jesus has taught them. And then he'd say, do you know what I mean? And they'd say, yeah. Didn't have a clue. And now they look back and they say, oh, that's what he was talking about. And they remembered all of his miracles. It was really cool because all their friends said, do you hang out with that Jesus who can heal people and stuff? They said, oh, yeah. That's like a magic act, right? And now they're looking back and they say, okay, now we're starting to understand how that fit into what he was doing. And they thought back about the way that Jesus interacted with people. And, you know, he was always hanging out with people who needed something. And the poor and the unpowerful people. And they're saying, come on, Jesus, if with your speaking ability and your charisma, you start connecting with those people in power, you're going to be running the show soon. Why aren't you doing that? And now they say, oh, just a minute. He was building the kingdom. He was on track. And it starts to come together. They look back. They're starting to understand. That's why they wrote the Gospels, right? They're starting to understand how things come together. And they look forward. And they say, all right. Here's a few things that we're learning. And there's four things that they learned that I saw at least in there that I'd like to share with you. The first one is they had a new picture of Jesus. Until now, they'd seen Jesus as their leader. He was the one who was teaching them day after day. He's the one they followed every day. Now, you remember the passage in Matthew 16, verse 16, where Jesus asks Peter, do you know who I am? You know, he said, who do other people say who I am? Who do you see I am? And he has that great announcement, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But does he understand? I mean, there they are when Jesus is lifting off and they're saying, well, aren't you starting the kingdom of, or aren't you renewing the kingdom of Israel? They still didn't get it, right? And now as Jesus lifts off and as time goes along, they begin to understand that the one who was with them wasn't simply a great teacher. It was God who had come down to walk with them. And now he's going back up to heaven. In the last 50 years, our understanding of God has changed. It used to be that God was up there in the sky, very distant from us. And over time, the last 50 years, we've had a much more personal understanding of Jesus. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. And still have a little hippie blood in me, so you have to pardon that from time to time. And the prayer almost became, yo, JC, how it is? Very different than how we used to pray when I was a little kid. And so what's happening here as we take a look at passages like Ephesians 1, rather, verse 15, we see Jesus going back to heaven. We see him as the creator of all things. We see Jesus as the one that God has put everything under his feet. He controls the movement of history. We read passages like Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 10 or 5 to 12, and we say, Jesus humbled himself and came down. What did he humble himself from? That's what he's gone back to. And there's a sense of awe that we get as we read through this passage. It's kind of like reading through Matthew, or Revelation, chapter 5 and 7 and 19, where we have people gathered around the throne of Jesus. And what are they doing? They're worshiping. This is who Jesus is. That's what we were doing this morning. It's a recognition that Jesus is more than simply a wonderful teacher. Jesus is God. Jesus is to be worshipped and revered and recognized. And sometimes, folks, sometimes we forget that. The second thing that we see in the ascension is that there's a new picture of humanity. I'm looking up here because there's another slide coming in that doesn't use the word picture, place. That's the word I'm looking for. There's a new place for humanity. With Jesus going to heaven, there's a sense in which, if this is not, for those of you who are theologians, you can come and tackle me later on. There's a sense in which Jesus changed. He created us. He knows all about us. But when he came and walked the proverbial mile in our moccasins, he understood from a different vantage point. And he goes back to heaven with that understanding. The book of Hebrews picks up on that. If you read through chapter 4, it talks about how Jesus went as the now stands in heaven as our perfect high priest. And the reason for that is he understands. He knows what we're going through. He knows the pulls. He knows the pain. He knows all the things that are going on. There's a sense in which Jesus has gone back as, and then we read about this in 1 Corinthians and Romans, the second Adam. Now, the first Adam connected with God in a very special way. The Genesis, what does it say? And Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening or whatever it was. Sounds more like one of those wonderful prairie sayings. And then sin came and separated us. And now Jesus, as the second Adam, has reconnected us, has gone back as sort of the perfect human to be with God, to be God. And so we have that reconnection of humanity. And we have a picture of humanity, which is restored to what it should be. And so suddenly we have an understanding of humans as being that which God has created us to be. We have a picture of humans, which is amazing. We are special. We are important. We are valuable, which affects the way we see God, but also affects the way that we see each other, that we see ourselves, that we treat other people, not only that we like, but the way that we treat people we don't like, if there are any of those. We have become something special, or we recognize the specialness of who we are. So it's not just Jesus that we see in an elevated way, but us as well. This is who God created us to be. As I mentioned earlier, the Reformed Church talks about that as theosis, the divinization of humanity, the way that humanity goes to heaven. And while I would disagree with some of the ways they develop that, there is a sense in which humanity connects with heaven, which brings us to the third point. We have a new cosmology. That doesn't have to do with Mary Kay. That's cosmetology. Cosmology is our understanding of the cosmos. It's our understanding of the universe and how things work. Within the theological circles, our cosmology is how we bring together sort of the spiritual and the physical and all of that kind of stuff. And we have a new cosmology. I almost wanted to say cosmetology. You can have a new one of those if you want to, but a new cosmology. So we begin to see things different. Like many of us, most of us, I would venture to say, have a very dualistic way of looking at things. There's spiritual things and there's physical things, and they two are separate. And if you want to know about that, go down to the cemetery sometime, and that's where we left all the physical things. Spiritual goes up, physical stays here. Jesus' body wasn't in the tomb, was it? Where was it? And here they see Jesus floating up. So, 1 Corinthians 15, new body, how does that go together? We'll talk about bodily resurrection another day. But just to say that in the ascension, what we have is heaven and earth are being knit together in a way. Rather than saying, heaven is up, here's earth, and you know what's down there. And so we're going to leave hell out of the conversation for today. We have them coming together. The perfect human, Jesus, goes to heaven, and the Holy Spirit comes down. But it's more than just that. We look back at Jesus' teachings, we'll see, well, what does the Lord's Prayer say in Matthew 6? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what we have with Jesus is Jesus coming to bring the kingdom of God here. He didn't come to say, oh man, this place is just a lost cause. So finally get done with this living thing so you can come to heaven and it's all right there. No, he says, I've come to make some adjustments. I've come to make some changes to this earth because the two are connected. And his job for us, which leads us into the third point, he has a new job for us. And the new job for us is that we continue on the work that Jesus had, which is bringing the kingdom of God down here. That begins with being. It begins by us connecting with God and us connecting to each other. Part of bringing the kingdom down here, a big part of it, is for us to be the church. A place where we come to because we love each other. God has placed that in our hearts. A place where we come because we have things to give. God has given us gifts like you saw this morning. And we come and we share our gifts and then we need things. And other people give to us the things we need. We become interdependent in the context of the church. We need each other. And it's wonderful. It's not an unhealthy dependency. Mentioned, I was meeting with the young adults this morning. We were talking about the church and faith. Was mentioning that there's a game we used to play when I was in youth. The youth would stand in a circle. You obviously need more than two youth for this one. The youth would stand in a circle and hold the shoulders of the person in front of them. And then they'd all sit down together. Can you imagine that? And when you're sitting down, you're sitting on the knees of the person behind you. And the person in front of you is sitting on your knees. Who needs whom? We all need each other. All it takes is for one person to say, get off my lap, for the whole thing to fall apart. Or I don't need you. For it to all fall apart, we need each other. Anyhow, getting a little off track. That's where living out the kingdom begins. Being the church. Being the church is connecting. It also is offering forgiveness. Now, we all go through potholes, right? It's called life. And sometimes the church is crawling out the other side of the pothole together. A bit bruised and beat up, but we're still the church. We still need each other. There's forgiveness for us. And on we go. But it goes on from that. In the passage, as we heard, and as Ingrid mentioned earlier, there's a job. And the job is to be Christ's witnesses throughout the world. Or if we take the passage from Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And so we take a look at that and we say, what does that mean? I grew up, you people are so wonderful. You have a balanced theology. Somebody was talking to me the other day and asking me why I grew up in such a weird way when I had these strange things I had to work with. Well, just be grateful that you grew up in a wonderful church. I grew up with the understanding that we were supposed to preach to people, that we were supposed to get a hold of people and convert them all. They showed us this film when I was in youth. It was a film about this fella in high school, and he had it on his mind that he should witness to this other guy who had on the locker beside him, and every day he didn't, and then one day the guy died, and that's the end of the film. Okay, let's live the rest of our lives in this huge sense of guilt, so because of me, somebody's in hell. It was not a happy place as a youth. And so then we go to church, go to school, and then we're witnessing to everybody. And, well, you know what they do to you. It's hard to get out of lockers. But the point is that we are supposed to be something. We be the church here, and we be representatives of Christ out there. What did Christ do? Love his job description in Luke. Luke chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Comes from Isaiah 61, 1-3. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, freedom to captives, recovery of sight to the blind." You know the passage? That's what Jesus did. And if that was his job description, maybe it's good enough for us too. Matthew 25, where it talks about the sheep and the goats, you know, you visit people in prison and feed the hungry and clothe the naked. I've often thought of that as a kind of a marginal thing. If you can't do anything else, you can at least go and help out at MCC is kind of the watered down version of that. But that's not watered down. That's what it is. We reach out in the name of Christ to the places of injustice and brokenness and hurt around us, bringing healing and hope and restitution. That's what we do. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. That involves words sometimes. Sometimes people look at you and say, "What's going on here?" And then we say, "This is what's going on here." You don't even have to rehearse it. Tell them the truth. And so as long as, I don't might knock the mic over, as long as there is hurt in our world, we have work to do. As long as there is injustice happening within our families, within our community, within our world, as long as there is abuse and violence going on, as long as things aren't experiencing the joy and peace and hope and love that Paul keeps talking about, we have work to do. And so that's our job. To be people who reflect. Does that mean to be perfect? I sure hope not, because then I'm in deep trouble. And my hunch is you are too. Like I said earlier, there's potholes in everybody's life. But it's getting past that and allowing other people to get past that and embracing them and saying, God calls us. So that's Ascension Day. Ascension Day is this picture of Jesus that calls us to have a sense of awe, a new understanding of who we are and who others are as those created in the image of God, a new understanding that God has come to build his kingdom on earth, and the invitation for us, get going. Live with integrity and faithfulness. The angel said, "Why are you sitting and staring up?" Well, they said, "You got to get to work. And the one that you are remembering is coming back." Coming back to do what? To complete the work that Jesus has done and that we are in the midst of doing, which is responding to the brokenness in the world, to bring the kingdom of heaven, to encounter the situations around us. And one day, God will come and say, let me help you with that. And put everything together as it should be, as God intended it to be. Hallelujah. May God be with you as you celebrate what we learn from Jesus rising up, as we apply that to our everyday life. May you be filled with a sense of joy, as the disciples were, as you contemplate that. Amen.
Please join us in singing In the Secret. It talks about our desire to know Christ more.
I'd like to invite you to stand for the benediction and the closing song, if you would, please. And now, O people of God, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace.